Yeah, yeah. You boys are back in town.
Don't we back.
The theme.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is episode 95.
Yep.
We are the Watch Guys.
Freak Nick Era Pods.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
We're doing the Freak Nick numbers, baby.
Yeah.
It's fitting. I had a lot of arguments about the brand, and I was talking to niggas like, yo, I really try to do this shit for people who understand Southern culture. And I was talking to a bunch of New York niggas. It was Bronx Day yesterday. Did you know that?
I mean, this is day for
I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
I know you didn't know that.
I mean, yeah. I didn't. I don't doubt that it exists.
No, it definitely exists.
Yeah, yeah.
It exists heavy. I was picking on them because I was like, man, I'm about to go out here and hang out with you niggas and all these chopped cheese activities.
Yeah, I don't really know much about New York culture, so when niggas be saying chopped cheese and shit like that, I'm like,
you know what chopped cheese is?
Nah.
Have you discovered the Aki way on Instagram yet?
I don't even know what that is.
Man. Yeah. All right, so let me break this down. He's basically like a Mr. Everything's except with New York street food. So he'll take whatever you give him and put it on the grill and make it into some weird concoction of food that usually includes chopped cheese paraphernalia, cheese sticks, and anything you can find in the bodega. So niggas are making like Takis, bacon, egg, and cheeses, so like honey bun, French toast, cheese stick sandwiches. It's a complete and utter monstrosity of food, but I like shit like that.
I'm waiting to be interested.
You're not gonna be interested. There's nothing that I feel like you'd be interested in. Did you ever watch Epic Mealtime?
Ew, no, nigga.
All right, well,
I hate that food garbage shit that niggas be doing, man.
Food garbage. It's the perfect. That's what that is.
Shit together, going, yeah. Yo, this is the ultimate hamburger, and it's like we're gonna put coleslaw. Dead baby legs. Shit like that. It's like, nigga, who likes this? Like, why is this appealing to anyone? But yeah.
What the fuck with Epic Mealtime? Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Boys are back in town, as you can hear.
Wash gods.
Yeah, yeah. Wash gods. Yeah, the gods are back in town.
Yeah, man. Anyway. Shout out to all the gods and goddesses out there that are still rocking with us after we went through this pointless banter about social media, food, cuisine, artists. Yeah, man. Wash never washed up. I am Sean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, and I am Draft, man. This is episode 95, like we said, six, Gun seven sounds. Times.
You see it.
Yeah.
How was your week?
My week was it was cool. It was just a lot of work. I mean, which is cool. Q's. Isley Brothers, work to do. But nah, other than that, it's cool. I don't know. I don't really have much to say. When you return to the job you already worked at, it's just like, you know, it's whatever, man. I don't really, you know what I mean? I'm not one of them niggas that really passionate about anything, but especially activities doing for a major company or something like that. So it's nothing for me to be like, you know, really to be excited about, man. But it's always cool to be back at work, man. After like sitting around for a long time, it was just cool to like kind of be on the opposite end, be in the rat race, like not be on my phone all day and shit like that. Like, I think that's, and especially when you work retail, man, like I've been trying to practice mindfulness. So that's been like an interesting escapade, because it's really like the best real world application you can have when you're like doing retail. It's like the ultimate challenge of,
there's some personal like exercises as like communicating as a human being or like a functioning adult that I think you can only do when you put yourself at risk to interact with the public. Like, you can only kind of process certain information. Otherwise, everything is kind of in a bubble.
People, because people always gonna present information based on you because they know you and shit.
I think that's why you, the higher you get as far as like certain people's pay. Like, there's a middle ground to, like, people who are cool and able to communicate effectively. You see it, like, in the trope in movies where it's this blue-collar worker who just seems to have this, like, really interesting hobby, and he meets somebody who's upper echelon or kind of up above his pay grade, and they're like, no, this guy's all right. Like, he had this whole different perception of the working class. It's like, nah, like, Like, there's a balance of being able to communicate with random strangers that comes with, like, working in retail or having your own business where you got to communicate with your customer directly, that I think some people just miss working in an office because they're always around each other. They feel like anybody outside of that circle is just of service.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it's interesting to see, like, the dichotomy of all of that, because it's like, it's a lot of, like, those type of people that never really, I guess they just never cross his mind. Like, I really be having to break down to people, like, yo, you know, I'm just some guy, right? I'm just some guy at a place. Like, I know you're arguing me about this. Like, listen, bro, like, none of these rules I've made, I'm just telling you because they tell me to tell you. You want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the person that told me, man. Like, this isn't a me or you interaction ever. I'm sure I've said that a million times, but it's never me or you. Like, it's you against the company, man. I'm not the company. Shit, nigga, I'm just some nigga. Never forget that. I'm just some guy, bro. I literally was just some nigga smoking weed like 5-10 minutes ago before I walked in the door. You know what I'm saying? I was just some nigga who's writing raps and shit. Like, some nigga you wouldn't want in charge of your drugs or photos or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the nigga you would, you know, like, I know I look like I'm certified because I have a uniform on, but trust me, I'm just some nigga in a shirt and a name badge. But, yeah, man, being mindful of the situations as they occur is like the ultimate challenge. Like, being like a fly mind, like the whole be here now shit, like, is ultimate challenge. Because, like, oh yeah, I'm here. Yeah, this is happening, and I can process however I want it. Like, this situation can go in any direction I want it to, based on my
reaction to
reaction and response. So, yeah, you know, that is always the challenge of retail, but. It's been a fun challenge, man. It's like a challenge of the mind, man, as they say. So,
chestnut checkers, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, you know, I can't really complain, man. I'm alive, as I always say.
I can tell from your enthusiasm. It's been a wild ride, man. Yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah. Also, I'm just never excited about anything, man. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't know.
You feel like that's an Achilles heel?
Nah. I be looking at niggas who are excited about shit, just like, I kind of, you know, I guess that maybe that's my way of looking down on people. It's just like, man.
Look at you finding joy in life. Just in, like, the shit that you do, nigga.
I mean, I get it, man. I mean, whatever, man. You know, whatever floats your boat, you find your lost remote or some shit, man. But, you know.
Stop being excited around me, nigga. Don't enjoy yourself.
You know what I'm saying? Some things are only like a hill to a midget. You know what I'm saying? Like,
lump to a lemon.
Yeah. Like, bitch, I'm a giant, man. It's gonna take a lot for me to, you know what I'm saying, get me to excited. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to show me a big mountain for me to step over. For I'm gonna be like, yeah, you know, I really did some shit. You know what I'm saying? So.
That's basically your way of saying it, telling everybody their bar too low. Your bar too low.
Yeah, I like to keep myself humble, man. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, everybody has their own, like, you know what I'm saying, thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't ever want it to be in a spot where I'm like, yo, this nigga feels like he's accomplished when he's really, like, kind of a piece of shit. I want people to be like, no, you know what? I know. I acknowledge what I'm doing wrong. Don't get it twisted. I don't think I've succeeded in any measure. I'm pretty humble on my shit. I'd be fucking up.
There's an argument to be had, though, that because I feel you. You know, don't take my pushback as any disagreement with that, because I often feel that way about people being excited about their shit too. Like, and it's not like
I'll be personally excited sometimes. Like, sometimes, like, I'll, like, be about to drop something and I catch it with my offhand, like my left hand, like right before it hits the ground. I'm like, damn, nigga, that was dope. I wish somebody would have seen that shit.
Yeah, like, when that happens, I often think to myself, like, yo, am I on point because I caught it, or am I fucked up because I dropped it?
And that is the question of life right there. That is life's question in a nutshell.
It's like, that was crazy. Somebody should have seen that.
Yeah.
But or maybe not.
Yeah.
These things just keep knocking shit over.
And that is why I try to stay humble. Like, that is like the way you worded it. That's it.
That's a meditation.
Nigga, yeah, this nigga keep knocking shit over, bro. But sometimes I catch it.
Mm.
But it's nothing to brag about.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It looks dope to me sometimes. Like,
we unpacked some shit. I didn't expect to get here from that.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's dope to me. Like, I feel accomplished inside. Like, damn, I did that shit. Damn, I pulled that shit off. But it's also like, damn, I probably shouldn't have been in that predicament in the first place. So, you know, it's always like.
Yo, can you remember the wildest, oh, I dropped some shit, but I caught it moment that you had? Most recent or most significant?
I mean, I feel like I got a billion of those, but I don't know if there's anything I want to share because when those are those moments, but let me think of something like light I can do.
I got one. I dropped my phone one time and I instinctively kicked it and I just so happened to kick it so it popped up where I could catch it and I caught it.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no case on my iPhone days. So yeah. it was wild.
Yeah. That's a good one. I don't know, man. Like, it's been so many moments, but my shits are so messy, I can't really share them. But,
That's what she said.
Yeah. You know, I could do something light, you know, sometimes.
It's all right, man. I feel like, it's built up too much now.
Yeah, it's
too much. Yeah, I'm sure you'll have one. Just keep us posted.
No. I don't think I'll ever share them, but.
All right.
Yeah, man. That's the whole idea of catching that shit. Like, nigga, I caught it, so niggas ain't have to see it. Nigga, I don't want to share my fumbles. It's like a blooper reel, you know what I'm saying? But
we only talking about the wins.
Yeah. I'm sharing my highlights, nigga.
These are the things that excite me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited about.
But yeah, how was your week? That was a long week, long tangent.
Yeah, it's fine. It flowed. Considering my week, I'm surprised I have anything really to talk about. Most of it's been spent doing training. Having this new job has been an adjustment, but I like you, I kind of like the structure that comes with it. Like, I get up early. I'm usually home by the afternoon. I can fill my day with the things that I like need to do most of the time, especially not going so long without work. Like, it's hard to create a pattern without filling it with things that you probably wouldn't do if you already had a job, like working out or like organizing a sock drawer. Mm-hmm. Like the laundry gets folded in the times when you'd usually be spending it doing something for somebody else. And I think that's cool because for me, it reminds me, like, I spent so much time working two jobs. Like, a lot of times you come home and it's like, damn, I'm not cooking because I don't want to do dishes. Or I'll sleep on the couch because I'm not cleaning up my room after I change and get in bed and got to get up in the morning and fix all this shit. So, cut corners. Being at home, like, I realize I can do all these things. Like, I'm not as, my anxiety isn't as bad in my space, but it's usually my anxiety be bad because about everything else. So I'm not, whereas when I was at work, like, and working consistently, I had the structure and usually the bread to do whatever I wanted. My anxiety would be bad. It's like, look at my life falling apart because my shit is a mess.
Yeah,
I just don't have the time to attend to it.
Yeah,
so,
you come home and everything's everywhere.
It's always a glass half full, glass half empty type scenario when I think about like not having a job because I enjoy that time immensely, but I always look back on it. It's like, sheesh, I never want to do this shit again.
I think the idea is finding that sweet spot of like taking hold of the time that you do get. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's a definitely, you got to get into a flow state. It's just got to last for weeks. At least for me, it's got me thinking about, like, because my job offers so many benefits. Shout out to them. They do the health is wellness campaign, which is actually kind of dope because it offers you a lot of incentives for, like, healthcare without you even working on the benefits. It's just being an employee that's available to you, either on the facility or, like, somewhere else. But they do, like, 12-week therapy sessions where you can get prescriptions for anything. I'm like, man, I might double back on this Adderall, man, see how this shit works. At this point, everybody's pretty much a cyborg. We'll have Neuralink in the next 10 years. Like, drugs ain't really going to make a difference.
Well, all right.
Just gonna try to level up. I'm gonna write a book.
I don't like uppers, man. So that's always been my stance. It's not my thing, man. I just don't fuck with uppers.
Yeah, it's the only thing that,
because I never know what to do with the energy. It's just
the only,
like,
the only reason I say
like
that,
a big ball of anxiety and shit.
Only reason I say that is because I've thought about like going to therapy because I can afford to now. Like, before, I was like, I'm not paying to talk to somebody, but when I got all, I could sit here and talk to myself for free, like sort this shit out. But now that I'm like, I'm older and I have a child, and I'm looking at the way the overall world thinks, I would like to give my child an opportunity to talk to somebody that doesn't have any sort of attachment to the people around them. There's no biased opinion. They just listening to them. Because I don't think I can do that. I can do it, but it may not necessarily be comfortable to do that with me. Or it may not necessarily be comfortable for her to do that with her mother. And yeah. I think about all the things that I want to know what that background is like. Because I went to therapy as a child, and that's how I ended up on Ritalin as a kid anyway. And I hated the feeling. I ain't like uppers. And aside from energy drinks or like caffeine now, which I use to like function, like anything more than that, I never play with my nose. I'm not really a fan of like pills and shit like that. But in this instance, I've heard amazing things about Adderall from both the drug community and people who actually need it for day-to-day living. And I feel like I walked the line of both. So doing the research just for myself, like breaking down a lot of the information I've processed about not only administering drugs for therapy or for psychiatric help, but just the process itself, like knowing what that background is like, has crossed my mind.
I don't know, man. Like, my stance, and I haven't been to therapy, and I probably should go before I have a real stance, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, my ignorant opinion. So, and I hear people say, like, yo, I just need a clear opinion of, like, without biases, because I've heard that. I mean, obviously, that's, like, pretty much the key idea of therapy or whatever. But my pushback to that would be the world is biased. And for you to go against the world's biases is kind of just to live in, it's to live in an imaginary world. Like, yeah, somebody can tell you, like, yeah, you're right based on, like, a clear vantage point of what the situation is.
That's not necessarily what therapy, what I was going. It wasn't necessarily what therapy was. It was an interesting experience. I do say that you, just for the sake of living, you should try it if it's offered to you. I think it's the scientific approach to people who are very spiritual, quote unquote, like somebody who does tarot cards or gets their palm read or has a psychic medium. Like that type of energy is very, very similar to the mental health therapy doctrine. I just think they're two sides of the same coin. But they leave that shit open for you to kind of like, they'll give you information or they'll give you work to do based on the things that you talk about. Just as somebody who was your parent would, or an advisor would, but doesn't necessarily give you the option to, or I forgot what I was about to say. Sorry, I'm tired. Last night was crazy. We'll get to that in a second. But they don't necessarily paint the picture for you. They'll give you information and kind of let you put the pieces together yourself.
But isn't that the problem?
I would say for some people, now that I've gotten a better idea how many types of therapy they're offering, because there are so many different types. People get therapy based on their biases, quote unquote, or the things that they prefer. Like if you want a female therapist or African-American therapist, so on and so forth, or a feminist therapist.
Because I feel like
LGBTQ
to me, familiar therapist. The therapy idea is like people that just seem to be pretty neurotic. It's like a neurotic pursuit.
That'd be a fair assessment.
It's just like, yeah, me. Break shit down for me. It's just like, yeah, but the world don't work on you. Like, I get what you're
saying. But in these moments, for that time period, for those people, it does. And maybe it helps them. For some people, I definitely know it helps them not.
Maybe spaz dump out. That yeah, out yeah, of the yeah. world. And I get that.
And you that's know what I'm and in the grand scheme of things.
I'm not saying it's not needed, but just for me personally, like, I always looked at it from that point of view. Like, I don't need anybody to, like, confirm my biases or unconfirm them. Like, it's, you know what I mean? The world works how it works. It doesn't work based on my opinion on how
you're going to say. You were gonna say this sounds almost like, and then I think I interrupted you. But what were you gonna say? Sounds almost like. Was it religion? Because that was
Oh, yeah. I was going to say much like other practices. It's like, yeah, it's just very, it's, there's very loose definitions of what everything is. It's like, I look at it like, well, is this, if it's chiropractic doctors or like massage therapy, all that shit is just very like, when you said like spiritualism, all that shit is very mystic to me. It's like, I get it. If that works for you, I'm not judging nobody that does it. I'm just saying for when people tell me about therapy, like, yo, you should try this shit. I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I know what you're doing and shit. I get what's happening. I just don't. That's not what I'm looking for out of life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for someone to confirm or deny my opinions. I look at like reality and what's going on around me, and I take part in that, and I work based on reality, my reality, not someone's definition of what my reality is, because they're not there at the end of the day. Like, you're only giving them what you want to give them, and they're breaking down that. So I don't know how you could ever get a full assessment of what's going on. Like, no one else is in your reality but you. You know, like, no one could ever really break it down. Like, for me, I could tell a nigga about where I work at all day. Unless he's there with me, like, I could never feel like you're gonna really completely understand me personally. You know what I'm saying? But I know some people just need to hear their thoughts out loud. You know what I'm saying? I try to be like, you know, I try to take time in my day to really just listen to what I have to say.
And I think as a grown adult, this is not, therapy doesn't negate the personal responsibility to deal with your shit or to process the world in real time. I think that a lot of times people dwell on things. Like, you have moments where shit just gets to you. And some are large and some are just minute. But it is a very narcissistic, not even narcissistic, but neurotic approach to processing life's ills, like the things that happen or have happened. I think just people do it in different ways. And, like, and don't have therapy, you figure out other ways to cope. Yeah. And a lot of times this doubles down into the rehab industry, you know?
Yeah.
And how much more of a detriment how much more of a critical eye is put on that infrastructure too, because it's almost like you feed these people into an industry that's built like basically off the suffering of people because they don't have a proper outlet one way or another. But
yeah, I
mean, that wasn't even my point.
Like, yeah, I know. I kind of wanted to always go on that tangent anyway, and that was kind of, you opened the door. But anyway, yeah, my bad. Yeah.
But the week was cool. We went through our benefits package, flights, how to like work the our travel, and yeah, pretty much bullshit through the rest of the week. They had us take some tests based on the information they gave us, and it was very I had a moment where I was like, man, this is just what high school was like. Like, I was always on top of my shit, but never really got to a point where I was consistent. Like, I was like, yo, A here, B here. It was like, yo, I'll get an A and some shit. And then the other class that I was taking that I completely didn't understand, I was like, yeah, fuck this shit. If I give you the effort and attention to this, like, I'm never going to learn this over here. So we had to take one test, and it was like rumored that we had to learn all these station codes. Station codes were like, it's probably like 200. So I was like, man, I'm not doing that shit. There's no way I'll be able to remember. They gave us some app that gave them to us in a quiz form. And it's just, by the end of it, I'm getting all of them right just because the frequency in which they're giving it to me. If I get enough wrong, I can get this one right. But I'm not learning it. You know what I mean? I'm just getting it right. So I was like, yeah, and it's already like been one of those weeks where being back at work, because I've got my daughter every day. So around 3 o'clock, my day is usually centered around her. I had homework. I got to figure out how to do that. I know people do this all the time. So what? This is my first run. I was thrown. I was really thrown for at least 2 or 3 days. But this is like the second week, so I'm kind of getting into a rhythm. But being up and studying, not my bag. Never was. I was never a cram the night before type of nigga. If I ain't know it in class and studied it and know it by the time I got finished with the homework, I didn't know that shit. I didn't know it. We just gonna wing it. It made me feel like I never really learned how to effectively study and retain information. But when I took the test, I had like a 98.
Yeah, I mean, I used to always think studying didn't work, but I like studied like a few times. Like, oh, huh.
It never clicked until it clicked. So I was thrown. I didn't know.
It's like I've done this before.
I didn't know how I was gonna do. I'm thinking to myself like, well, I got to do this test, and I did 98. I got like a 98 on that one, and then I got to do the station code shit. And I was like, well, this is the one I bombed. We get to the end of the first test, and we're all gathered in this room, and they're like, yeah, fortunately, we don't have a station code test. We just gonna let y'all learn that shit in the field. And I'm just sitting there like, man, wiping sweat off my brow, leaning back in my chair like, Jesus Christ, I'm so glad I didn't study for this shit, because I'd have learned this shit and not had to use it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll use it eventually, but.
In this moment, we skating till then. Backwards.
I mean, they know that niggas don't do anything. So like, I think they take.
And I feel like I know I'm eventually learning. Yeah. Some of them are obvious, but the rest of them, it's like, y'all know what they're gonna give us. And the study guide was all of them. It's just all of them, and then you put the letters. It's so all the cities.
Repetitions follow learning. I mean, the more you do the shit, the more you'll know it. I assume, right?
Whatever, nigga. Smart ass, scholar ass, nigga. I don't need psychiatry. I'ma figure it out. I'ma study.
I don't think it's like, some of us don't think life is to be figured out, man. That's the problem with niggas, man. They always try to figure some shit out, man. I hate when niggas try to figure shit out. Stop figuring it out, bro. It's nothing to figure out, bro. Yeah, live and you die, nigga. Get the fuck out of here.
But yeah, man. It was cool. This weekend, I ended up hanging out with my homeboy, Mac. Shout out, Mac and Akeem. I realized this. I knew this because there was a point in time when I was outside and there was various social scenes that I was fucking with. Like the club scene, like being in Buckhead and remembering like when High Five Buys used to be over there on Peachtree and all the clubs just sit behind there. But I was like young, so like, that was appealing to me because it looked shiny. And then getting older and realizing that I hate being in that type of environment. Not even I hate being in that type of environment. It just got... It got lame. It got real lame. Like, dealing with people who come from out of town and want to do all this extra shit. But that being said, I had a great time last night doing all the aforementioned things.
Extra shit.
It was funny, man. I felt like I was back in high school sneaking in the club just because I ain't been in so long. It's like these ain't niggas I fuck with at all. But it's everybody that I went to high school with around the time that I was like sneaking in the clubs and shit. And not even necessarily sneaking in. I can't remember the name of this club, and I know Vince knows it. Badoomch.
Yeah.
I meant to ask him last night when I seen him at Versus. I saw Versus. They had that Air Force One event. Chop Ross DJ. Shout out Corey. But I seen him there, and I meant to ask him the name of this club because it was one of those moments where I knew he was there during that time period. It was in Marietta. Anybody who can name it. It was around 2007, 2008, and they had like a weekday. It was like the era of weekday nights in Atlanta, which I think is still going on. I don't hear about too many clubs promoting like weekday nights. Like there's, I also don't listen to the radio, and I think that's where I heard a lot of that shit anyway.
It's a recession, man.
Niggas ain't outside like that, but they are. By the looks of last night, we got bottles. It was entirely too much to get in that club. I think we ended up getting two bottles. And let me say this. Before anybody listens to this pod and thinks shit is different, I didn't spend any money. I spent nothing. I had no intentions on spending anything, but I also didn't have any intentions on going. So, like, my life was set up, so I wasn't going to appreciate the night. Like, I was just going to go home and do my thing. But the friends that I have, you know, so gracious as they are, forced me to get intoxicated and enjoy myself. So, I'm appreciative. It was funny watching me interact with people that I ain't seen like or been out with in this capacity. I'm talking to my homegirl Tanina, and she's like, yeah, I think this is our first time out. I'm like, yeah, it took 20 years. we've been grown for a minute. And I was sneaking in the clubs with Marcus. I'm like, yo, we was in house parties and shit. We just go back through this list of house parties. I'm like, man, like this was American Graffiti for my, like, that period in life. And now it's come full circle. But yeah, I ended up leaving, tried to get Waffle House, which I'm glad was closed, and passed out and woke up and came over here. But yeah, I spent most of my weekend just trying to unpack all the shit that I learned during this week. Enjoy my time off before I have to go back in there early as fuck. Put a face on. So yeah, I'm going to get Adderall so that way I can do this more effectively at some point. I'm going to keep hanging out with my niggas, drinking, you know, coming to a club near you. We're going to do a tour, a couch tour. That's another thing. Niggas still jump on couches. Like, I didn't know that was a thing still. Like, and now they've got, like, the couches aren't even soft, so they're, like, platforms. Like, I've seen club culture change. Going back in there and seeing, like, benches pretty much.
Yeah, I'm actually excited that niggas still jumping on couches, so that's refreshing to hear. So shout out to them. So I don't know, man. It's cool, man. Good to see niggas still keeping up keeping the same energy, bro. Like I don't want that energy to die, man. I don't want to see old niggas doing it, but young niggas, man, shit, I did it, so I ain't mad at another nigga doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's cool when you're young, bro.
Man, shout out all the couch culture out there in Atlanta, yeah. Man.
When I go,
keep bouncing.
When I go back through clubs and I see the same niggas and shit, and it's like niggas, we the same age and they still doing that shit. It's a little off putting, but hey man, who am I to say?
Niggas standing on the top of the couch, yeah, rapping the intro to Dreams and Nightmares at the top of their lungs. Yeah. That happened last night. Yeah, that too happened last night.
That type of shit just like puts me off of people, humans in general.
Stop being excited, nigga.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you beating your dick in public. I
remember what. Go ahead, finish it before people speculate.
It's just disgusting to me. It's just how I look at it. Just like, bro, like, just a very disgusting act, bro. Stop. Like, okay, you like a song, nigga. I don't want to see this shit.
They rap it and look you in the face.
Yeah, especially a stranger, bro. It's one thing, you know, you might
hold on, wait a minute.
Share a moment with a friend and shit. I don't want to. Share moments with these strangers. Not in that capacity, man.
But when he bought that Aston Martin, y'all thought it was rented.
Like, that's not even like a...
You thought it was rented.
I could even understand if it was like... There's so much to unpack about that song. I don't know where to start. But shout out to Meek. Love Meek. Shout out to you, dog. Keep pushing. I ain't heard no Meek song in a minute. But yeah. Back to your week. My bad.
I think that was pretty much it. I'm tired.
Word.
Probably gonna try to.
You got a wash moment?
Rest up for the rest of the day. My wash moment is drum roll as I scramble.
I don't know which one the drum roll is.
No, it's all good. I was just thinking out loud. You know, if you actually got a drum roll, that's fine. Yep, that works. Set the mood. My weekend was pretty much a wash moment. I was at an Air Force One event, man. Like. My niggas I known since high school. My homeboy was just standing out there like, yo, when is somebody gonna actually let us know where the party is? I'm like, this is it. This is everybody standing outside.
Yeah, this thing that's happening right now.
And you're in it. Welcome.
Yeah. Huh?
That was my week, man.
Oh, all right. Well, watch moment. Oh yeah, I guess this happened on the way here. I heard the radio in the first time in a long time today, man, which is...
Round of applause.
it was interesting to hear, man. One thing I feel like, mainstream music, this is just my hot take, hasn't really changed much in the last maybe 15 years. Like, yeah. The songs I heard that were like...
Kodak Black and King Combs got a Crush on You remix.
Oh, that happened?
Yeah. Oh. It's hard.
Oh, word. Shout out to them. I heard somebody, I saw people tweeting that Diddy's son was the worst rapper ever, but I wondered why they were saying it. I didn't bother to check it out. That's no shot to King Combs.
Niggas is also up in arms about this Division song with that Jay-Z sample.
Yeah, I peeped that little clip about if I get caught cheating or some shit. Is that the one?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But my point was, it's just like, yeah, radio hasn't changed, man. And like, it just felt like the old man. Like, oh yeah, they still doing this shit? It's crazy. Like, I don't even feel like you have to try to be current anymore. Like, current don't... I don't know. To me, I thought I should be more washed is my washed moment from my perspective. Like, yeah, I should... Like, this shouldn't... I shouldn't know what's going on, bro. It's just that shit don't really be moving that quickly. Like, whether it's a Meg song or some... all right. I should... How much harder to parcel this? But there's always going to be a lady, you know, scantily dressed, speaking about oral sex and shit like that. That type of song is always going to exist in the atmosphere. It's always going to be one once a year. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be like, for the last 15 years, it's been like a Drake song on the radio, Future joint. And you throw in some like some type of Caribbean dude that has some type of Caribbean vibe.
Afro beats.
Yeah. Same type of shit. And that's pretty much the radio.
This is the for the last that by.
15 to 20 years. Whether it's Sean Kingston, Sean Paul, or whoever the fuck is popping right now. Mm. Or whether it's Tim's. It's all the same formula of shit. And like, maybe it's always been like this, but
I mean, that's how I used to feel when I'm like, damn, Lil Wayne got babies. It's all these niggas out there from New Orleans with tats on their face and skateboarding.
Yeah.
Like now, it's like, damn, these niggas is Young Thug.
But that's it's like all the zoomed in version. Yeah, that's like the zoomed in version of that.
But it's always like that when you double back on certain forms of music. Like you ever go into a genre you ain't listened to in a minute and you're like, oh, this is just. Like, my thing is, like, I I'm a big fan of, like, alternative rock, like, punk bands, shit like that. And when I start listening to, like, Pink Floyd or something of that nature, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is just Karunga Bin. Like, this is, all of this is just the same energy, the same look. It's just the same. And it repeats itself. You get a band like that every so often. Like, zoomed in, it is usually rap that I'm the most tuned into, but it's like that in every industry. It's how the machine works.
Yeah. And I mean, when you just, I guess, like from my the zoomed out perspective, was just like
the zoomed in part just comes from the fact that it's so many outlets. Yeah, it's so many outlets. Like we got Twitter, so if I want to be, it's going to anticipate what I'm already listening to and what I like. So I just get that in repetitive form, but I see the same pattern. Like when you go to radio, it's a little bit of everything. So you're going to see the pattern in a different way. But most people who just listen to radio don't see it like that because that's all they're accustomed to. If you're accustomed to streaming where you can listen to whatever you want, you stay in that box for as long as you choose to until something like listening to the radio or some shit happens.
So I throw this out there, and this kind of like links to the Conway joint from last week. So shout out to anybody who listened to last week's episode.
Apparently they patched it up.
But
I knew that shit was gonna happen.
That's what's up. Yeah. Wrestling. But either way, what's the last non-rhythmic rap record that stuck on radio?
Non-rhythmic? I don't know. What's non-rhythmic? Rap is rhythmic.
I mean, like, non-jiggy, like, non-dancy.
Non-dancy?
Like, that song that chicks didn't twerk to. A street record. That women don't twerk to. Like, not a dance street record.
A street record that women don't twerk to.
Like a Mobb Deep-ish record or a Nas record. What's the last one of those that cut through?
It wouldn't be from New York. It's only because the South is kind of running music. Or you have that culture. I think so. It's hard.
Even an outcasty. Well, I guess they're kind of rhythmic. They're pretty rhythmic. Nah, I'll take that back. But like,
I say Kendrick Lamar's "I Love Myself."
It's really jazzy and shit. He's really like an outcast baby.
Yeah. But there was twerking in that video, so I don't know.
There you go. I'm trying to think like a, you know what I mean, like a Mobb Deepish record or like
Kendrick
a,
Lamar's
or a Lox record or like a I'm trying to think of somebody because Kendrick is even
the other joint that he had, thing I can the think Pharrell of joint
like, that's super jiggy.
That's not jiggy.
It is. It's like this niggas dancing all in that video, man.
Bro, what you want niggas to do?
I'm saying a video where niggas are not dancing.
Non-rhythmic.
Like rap. Remember when hip hop would just be head nodding and shit? Like remember that type of rap? Like Griselda? Like the whole point he was making. Like that type of music. When the last time one of those records cut through? Like that genre has always existed in rap.
Yeah, and it's always been on the sidelines. It's never really cut through. Like, it's been, like, since Quiet Storm, maybe.
There you go. That's a good one.
Quiet Storm.
That's a good one. There you go. That's what I was thinking. Like something on to that like vibe.
It's probably Bad Boy era. Like
I'm thinking. Well, I was gonna go Rick Ross, BMF.
On the low, Rick Ross. The first joint? Every Day I'm Hustling too.
Yeah. I can think of those. Those are like the last few.
Jeezy
was another one of those.
Survivor.
Yeah. But when's the last time we've had one of those? Just like songs where niggas fucked with. Where it wasn't about a dance. It wasn't about like getting bitches to twerk. It was just like, I fuck with this song.
Let me say, I don't know if this was a hit, but it was in the streets. It went platinum, nigga. I really mean it.
Oh yeah. Nah. That's what I mean. Like those type of joints. Like you don't really dance. I really mean it. It's just a joint. Like you know what I'm saying. Like Hov used to have them joints. Sometimes.
Yo, so this is one of the joints that I don't see chicks twerk to. Everybody raps this song. I noticed it last night. It's one of my favorite songs too.
Ooh, Freeway, What We Do.
That's another one. That one. But I was gonna say Yola the Great.
That's another
one. Let up. Niggas don't dance to that song.
It's just
you
a song
rap,
you feel.
You
bro.
Rap
you
that song.
It. Yeah, it's just that's what I mean. Those type of joints. When the last, like, I can't think of a, maybe like last thing I could think of was maybe Nice for What, maybe like a Drake. Cause that's more for like women though. I feel like they didn't really twerk to it or nothing.
Does Kanye like, have one? Kanye would be one of those artists that I would say
yeah,
probably
makes
had
that
a hit
kind of style music.
That I wouldn't like 808s and Heartbreak era
it.
Him.
You just feel it, yeah. But even Ye ain't really had like a really meaningful song in a while, in my opinion. I don't know when the last, this is a whole nother tangent, but we ain't got shit to talk about anyway. When's the last meaningful Ye song you think was?
Yeah, Donda's got a lot of feeling. I like it because I'm a Ye fan, but stuff that resonates across the board where it's breaking through
type.
Radio, like it ain't a lot.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think he was probably the last person really making that style of music.
Like, but he's got so many...
he's not really a rhythmic rapper to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not in that... Like, he tries and shit.
He's got so many ideas. I think a lot of that shit, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just getting it out. Because when I saw the performance that he was doing, the performance style he was doing with the like, concert of unfinished songs, having artists come in and kind of, like, cut their features in the studio. I'm like, this is just an experiment in music. I'm not looking at it trying to critique the quality of the album. I'm just looking at the unfolding of the idea. And I think that's what makes really good artists. I see why people got into Lennon the way they did or were really into Dylan because there were so many, at the time, information was a lot more limited. But you wanted to break down that person's thought as much as possible. And when you can see it in the music they make, it makes it a lot more compelling. So... Like, yeah, I don't know what Ye's done to, like, musically that made some shit stick, but I do think that a lot of the things he does ain't necessarily about making the music. Like, it's just getting the idea out.
Yeah. But yeah. That was a long tangent. I'm sorry, but that all stemmed from my wash moment. But it all came from just thinking about how music feels to be stagnant in this point in my life. But it might just me being old, like, just seeing the same tropes repeated a lot. So, okay, this is the hot reggae song of the summer. Okay, this is the hot little twerking song for the summer. This is a hot song where chicks or the woman empowerment, I suck dick and I'm proud of it song of the summer. Like
that rhymed. Who said that? Was that you? You just came off the cuff with that? Ooh. Women empowerment, suck dick and I'm proud of it.
But yeah, man. Yeah. Those those same tropes just... tend to repeat it. It's just like, damn, okay. Whether it was Lil' Kim, Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, Trina, it's always been that. And you know what
Shout
I mean?
Shout out Glorilla, man.
Glorilla. That's the joint I heard this morning. And I was like, oh, okay. What's crazy is I kept hearing about Glorilla for all these months. I never heard the song. I was like, yeah, I know it'll find me eventually. Yeah. It's not nothing I need to find.
Glorilla got her homegirl signed, too.
Shout out to her, man.
Doing it right.
Yeah. So, yeah. People on. That is the current... version of that, of what I'm talking about, though, like that Lil Kim, Cardi B, blah, 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 that whole genre of things. And, you know, like I said, the Sean Kinks. I heard some.
Have you seen that white chick rapping over.
Lil Baby?
No.
Oh.
This is worse. I got to find it. We'll get into our Kanye topic and we'll talk. I'll find it and I'll show it to you. But this is white chick rapping over. What's her name? Amaretta's, the chick, Schneider Lena. Video rapping over her beat and all these little kitschy landmark spots in Atlanta. Talking about she from Zone 6. I felt so disrespected.
Oh, so it's like a hipster type thing?
Oh, my God.
Feels like that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I know exactly where I'm going to find it because Illustrate sent it to me, man. Shout out to Illa for being... I know Dr. Umar is looking down on you in shame.
Illa be in the trenches of the internet.
Man, that shit be so disappointing sometimes. Man.
He's like, yo, mad. Look what I seen here. I'm like, nigga, where do you go to find this shit, nigga?
I know where he found it, too, because I was there. We just don't talk about it, bro. Yeah, it's secret society.
Yeah.
Stop letting niggas know we looking at this.
It's like a sex human club.
Filth. Yeah.
Hey, you was there, I was there, but we ain't got to
we not gonna, we not gonna never speak in public.
This, we never bringing this shit up, ever.
Illa one of them friends. I fuck with Illa, man, and I'm going to tell you why. This is it's the small things that make me, even about people that I'm like, you know, I've been friends with for years, and somebody's like, why you fuck with him, bro? And I'm like, man, that's just, that nigga, you wouldn't understand. But Illa the type of nigga, like, it's been multiple times where we've had like these long, in-depth conversations, and we'll be talking about something important, and a call is just dropped. And neither one of us call each other back. Yeah, and it's cool.
Like, you know, gotta respect that about somebody. Like, yeah, we know it's it, bro. Yeah,
it's cool, just
bro.
About time. We was just about to double back on some shit we probably shouldn't have. I'm gonna see this nigga.
We'll catch up. Yeah. We've said all the things that need to be said and shit.
I was talking to somebody else and I tried to
feel about that. Like, yeah, you ain't really gotta call me back, man. If we talked longer than 30 minutes, we probably covered everything.
We covered everything that we need to cover in that 30 minutes.
Now we just doing shit.
Yeah. But I tried to put on somebody else and it was like, bro, what happened? I thought the call dropped. I thought that was God letting us know. We was on the phone for about 30 minutes too. It's funny you say that, just because I knew instinctively. I was it's about that time. Nigga, call me back.
Go ahead and hit that old dusty trail. It's one of those moments. It's like, ah, start stretching and shit. You stand up.
What you gonna do, huh? Straight.
Where you got to go? Where you going? What you doing after this?
But yeah, man, so Kanye went to Rolling Loud, apparently.
Okay, so this where it was, Rolling Loud?
Yeah, it was at Rolling Loud in Miami.
Shout out Lil Durk, right?
Lil Durk, performed with
Lil I was about Durk. To call him Young Durk. Why was I going to call him Young Durk? It's just, and it sounds right to me, but anyway.
Old man brain.
Yeah.
Kanye was supposed to be on the bill, apparently, but I think he pulled out. I'm not exactly sure why. He ended up performing Father Stretch My Hands with Lil Durk shortly after Kid Cudi was completely irate with the crowd, or really irate with the crowd because they kept throwing shit at him. I guess because they wanted Ye to be there, and Ye pulled out because he was going to run into Cudi. I don't know if Cudi had anything to do with him pulling out, but pause. But I don't know why he was there. It was a surprise that he was there in the first place. If he was supposed to be on the bill, why and pulled out, why show up?
Yeah, it's probably.
And he was in blackface, which is also weird. Like he had
I saw clips from that, and I didn't really even put two and two together.
Blackface.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Ye is Ye, man. You gotta let Ye do what Ye do. I don't think we should read into it too deeply.
My aforementioned breakdown on how I feel about Ye's whole role in music. I'm just stating facts. I feel like these are topics that are going to be discussed. I looked at it and I said, am I the only one thinking, why is he in blackface?
Yeah.
I can't be the only one thinking why he in blackface. Like, I saw it and I was like, oh, this is Ye being Ye. But I was like, yo, he in blackface too at the same time.
So, I feel like Ye is just...
I'm not saying it means anything for a black man to be in blackface. That's fine, bro. I wonder, is he trying to get me to bite? Like, are you trying to get me to ask you why you... It's like a nigga who got a face tat, like a new face tat.
Yeah.
Like, you trying to get me to say, yo, you got a new face tat?
I definitely feel like he's, you know, he is the human troll, man. He walks around just doing shit just to do it. Like, it's hard for me to tell what Ye we're ever getting. Like, I don't know if this is the real Ye or the Ye before was the real Ye, or like there's a mix of the two. I don't know if he thinks he's a god this week or whatever the case is. But shout out to Ye, man. God love him. I just think a lot of the shit he does is just all out of relevancy. At the end of the day, he just, you know, you got to stand by Lil Durk, man. He's the hot nigga.
That's a fact.
He definitely got the streets on lock. And they got a joint out right now. Shout out Cardi B.
I think it might have been at work because I don't think it was with us. But we had kind of the same conversation, that similar to your take on radio, like how music always recycles itself. We had a conversation about like how all artists steal.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like
yeah.
All they do, like it's just a breakdown on stealing. I think it was me and Marcus yesterday. My days run together. I can't remember when I told people like things or said, had conversations. If it was important, I wrote it down. If I didn't write it down and I said it, it's all casual conversation. Even if I said I'm going to do something, like that's just it's where I'm at with it now. Not based off of how I feel about you, just based off of function. It's easier for me to say some shit and not do it if I say I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm letting you know now so that way you don't feel no type of way. Like, you can say I should remember, but I'm telling you now, like, yo, it's not even, it's out of my hands. It's got to go with God. But yeah, Kid Cudi got shit thrown at him.
I guess ASAP Rocky was at the same joint and he got a phone thrown at his face too. So
really?
I just heard that on the radio. Back to the radio.
What's up with these disrespectful crowds? Like why?
I don't know, man. I just
especially
think
because concerts, how they learned absolutely nothing from the Travis Scott like interaction. That the crowd needs to be on their P's and Q's or shit gets shut down. And I'm not saying this is the same scenario, but it kind of made me think about it because it's the same type of energy, like it's a festival type vibe, and everybody was so concerned about these audience members who were trampled in this event because it's Travis Scott's fault. This nigga's up there performing and he got the crowd riled up. This is the type of energy that he brings to the show. And then you go to Rolling Loud and the crowd is throwing shit at Kid Cudi. Yeah. And I'm not saying this as a Kid Cudi fan, because I am. I feel like that's fucked up. But, you know, if they didn't want to see him, they didn't have to throw shit at him. Like, because let's say he jump in the crowd and fight, and then it's a real riot. Because Cudi's known for jumping in the crowd and fighting niggas. Like,
yeah,
old Cudi would definitely jump in the crowd and fight. Like, I'm like, yo, do niggas not know that he'll fight niggas? Like,
I feel like niggas just like people skills and shit. So it just goes back to that shit, man. Niggas just don't really know how to treat their celebrity anymore. But I mean, I guess that's always existed. That's just why I think like that fandom and like people calling themselves stans is just, it's always a weird thing to me. It's just like, yeah, I'm not necessarily a fan of anybody. Like, I might
it
be
just
a
felt
fan of
weird because nigga, he just beefing with Kanye. That's not, it's not that big of a deal.
But
that's,
if you're a stan, maybe it is to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, they did beat up Freddie Gibbs in Buffalo.
Yeah,
and I don't think that was like it had anything to do with Benny the Butcher.
Yeah.
I think it was just some niggas from Buffalo that saw a nigga who said some shit about a nigga from Buffalo and decided to beat him up.
Which is a, you know, fair argument.
That's how it should go down. That's square biz.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, that's the thing about talking, man. And I say this as we podcast. It's tricky, man. You know, I cut my jokes and shit, but I always try to parcel myself and shit or some shit, because it's just like, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it, man. You never know what hood you might be in, man. And you never know who's listening. But,
shout out Charleston. What's that nigga's name? White? Charleston White? I know Draft knows nothing about this topic. This is part one of those conversations that me and Illa would probably have, because it's, you know, secret society.
Yeah, these
social media filth.
Yeah.
But Soulja Boy is back in the news because I don't know what this nigga Charleston White said. Charleston White says a lot of shit about a lot of niggas. He recently was holding up this huge banana clip.
Who's Charleston White?
So Charleston White is he's like a crackhead Dr. Umar.
But like, what is his
profession? He talk about rap and the culture of,
and he's just like violence. Some guy.
Yeah, he's just some guy. He speaks aggressively to the rappers. He names rappers. He wished death on them. He holds up guns. You know, he antagonizes them to a certain extent.
So he's like a YouTube personality type?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And he's like Kwame Brown to street niggas.
Gotcha. Yeah,
he want all the smoke. All of it.
He just does like
yeah, he picks a day and he goes on rants.
Streams himself. Like, yeah, on
Alex
rants.
Jones, a la Alex Jones.
Gotcha.
On street nigga. Like, when anytime a rapper dies, he got a take.
Of
yep.
It. Yeah.
He wished death on them all.
And it's him.
Yeah, he beefing with Bloods and Crips. GDs.
It's him just sitting in front of a camera talking.
Screaming.
Shit.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Irately. So at Rolling Loud, Soulja Boy, he said something about Soulja Boy, and Soulja Boy wanted to talk to him, or his people wanted to talk to him, and Charles the White proceeded to mace them.
Oh, that's lit.
Like, maced them all and ran.
Shout out Tata. If you know, you know.
Hey, baby. Best of both worlds. But both went to social media and had hilarious takes. I can't even lie. Soulja Boy kind of played it like, I didn't know you was going to mace me, man. I didn't know it was like that. He did it with a stack of money in his hands. He was just laughing like, man, you just go mace us. Like, it was funny because he was like, damn, bro, you got one, but still, that's how you feel. In high school, there was a time when my homeboy Keem, who I was with last night, was about to get in this fight with this nigga we knew, and as he walked up on him, this nigga pulled out a knife, and I felt the same type of like energy from Soulja Boy. It was like, nigga, a knife, nigga, why? I don't even want to fight you no more, man. Like, I'm just kind of disappointed. Like, I thought we was really going to hurt each other. Like,
cheers. Somebody was.
Like, missing. I'm about to shoot you, nigga. What the fuck you doing? I'm about to chip your dumb ass. Put that away. We can fight, man. Just don't pull that knife out, because now I'm about to shoot you. Yeah. That's why you don't show a nigga a knife, you just stab him. Yeah, like, yeah. That's the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah. That is the call. That's the play.
But the Soulja Boy just had his money in his hand and was talking about how funny it was, or made it seem how funny it was to get maced and watch this nigga run off. Apparently there's footage out there. I don't know if it's a aggressive way to mace niggas. Like, it can't be. So I'm assuming that he looks like he took an L, but he didn't seem like he took an L. And to his credit, he didn't, bro. He got away. He lived. You know what I mean?
But you live. Yeah. I don't have no take on this. Because I don't know what happened. But shout out Soulja Boy. And that's hilarious, man. Thank you for like the entertainment that you always provide, man. This is like clownish shit of the internet that I always like find disturbing one half of me, and always the other half is entertained, man. And I never really know where to like stand on that shit, because I'm like,
it's just a circus.
Are these niggas serious?
I don't like it, because it is gonna lead to somebody dying for real, and this is one of those situations where it didn't, but it's funny, you know what I mean? And I think it's almost like the same shit with the Freddie Gibbs shit. Like, I don't want to see it happen, but in actuality, it's something that needs to be discussed, because this shit does happen to regular niggas for no reason, just because they don't know how to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, I feel like them niggas are like, they're starting to become like, in the rap world, it's like the equivalent of like the person that stands on the corner just screaming crazy shit. And sometimes it's hilarious and you laugh at them, but it's really fucked up.
Shout out RIP Big Time Watts.
But it's really fucked up. It's like, yeah, this nigga's really fucked up. But it's just like, we just kind of laugh at it until something crazy happened, like you said. Mm. Like, you know, until somebody dies. Like, oh, damn, man. Maybe we should have took these niggas more serious.
Yeah, y'all got Terrio in the gym, man. Get this nigga off dope. Somebody help him, man.
Yeah, man.
Westside Gunn is the king of that, bro. He's saving Jay's left and right.
Yeah. He got a new Jay on every album cover. So shout out.
Every album cover.
Every album cover got to roll out with a junkie. I fuck with it because he is, you know, stove guy, cooks. They represent the culture.
They
represent that culture, man. That cook crack culture. So I fuck with it. He keeping it true to brand. But shit, man. You got anything else? If not, we can just do what we've been watching and listening to. We're about at an hour right now.
This is a Mero split.
Oh yeah, we definitely talked that. You know what I'm saying? Foreshadowing.
Dun dun dun.
Oh yeah, wrong one. Yeah, there you go.
We gonna get there.
I read like some of the synopsis of the breakup, and that's probably like the wrong term to use about their breakup, but I would use that term because I don't know, man, it just feels like a show. Them niggas to fuck around, get back together, get a bigger bag or some shit. But I don't know, man. You know, I'm not the biggest Desus and Mero fan. I will watch occasionally. I saw people posting all these photos with, I think it's Mero. Mero's the light skin one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's Mero. and his wife, and they're just calling him a fraud. Like, yo, he be saying all this nigga shit, and then they showed his wife. It's like this white Jewish lady.
He never hid that though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. This is just Twitter
banter. He's Dominican, man. Why y'all care what Dominicans think, man? They say nigga all the time and don't call themselves black.
Yeah.
He's the one that just kind of, you know,
cut through.
Yeah. Shout and out. I fuck with Desus and Meryl. I'm not saying that in any negative way. I don't know if there's a positive spin to it. I don't want to smoke. I fuck with y'all show.
Yeah. I don't want to smoke. I mean, I respect y'all show. I'm not the biggest fan, but you know, do your thing, man. Who am I to say?
But I do think that, I don't know, it's interesting that these niggas break up over some work office political, you know, correctness, because they came from a culture that was completely unhinged. And that's kind of what got them there. Apparently, the beef is about...
I was just about to ask.
Their manager having... like, just basically bullying people in the workspace. Yelling and screaming at niggas. Basically, Dame Dash and shit. Like,
kind of seems like on brand for them, but...
That's why it's kind of confusing. Because as a group... I mean, I see what it is for real. Because ain't he supposed... I think Desus is supposed to be filling in for Jimmy Kimmel.
Like, yeah, I peeped that.
So I think it's
definitely
just,
he definitely seems like the one that's kind of took off more into like the mainstream.
And if you want to break it down, one of them is gonna go. One is gonna go mainstream, and yes, the other one want to keep it, you know, other essence. You want to keep the hive intact, and the hive may transition to late night. But I mean, I'm gonna see it if I see it. I'm interested. I definitely feel like that's a win for him, but. I do feel like there is a direct link between his transition to do Jimmy Fallon or Late Night and him, Meryl, being on Math Hoffa's podcast. Like, it's a statement. Even the stance on, like, yo, I'm sticking with my manager. Like, I'm sticking with the manager that we've had since Jump. The fuck, what do you do, bro? It's part of the group. I respect that and I understand it, but... I know this is just something that happens. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know, man. You know, from the outside looking in, I don't know. I guess I wish I got to get some ledge music. Cause, Tina Marie, Out on a Limb. I'm all right. I'm jumping out on a limb on this, man. And this is just my speculation. I don't know shit about their relationship, but they never struck me as actual friends just by the way they interact. It always just felt like they were doing a bit. Like, they always felt like to me what I expect to hear from, like, if I would, like,
search. How did they meet? Because I feel like,
if I search,
I feel like they met
like,
on the internet.
Yeah, if I search, like, Bodega Banter, like, on YouTube, it would just be, like, it would be them. You know what I'm saying? They never felt like they actually knew each other. Like, a personal touch is always felt was missing. From their relationship, and
they never talk about hanging out unless it's like them working, hanging out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Shit that we already saw, basically.
Like, cause all their stories come from. I remember this one time I was with my niggas over here, or I remember this one time I was with my niggas over here, and it's never like you remember that one time we was at such and such.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have conversations. We'll be like, you remember when we went to?
Yeah.
And we was on six, and then so and so did that shit, and then this happened, and yada yada yada. They don't have those stories. And it's also something I paid attention to because it's like, yo, I don't like podcasts where the people don't, like, either you're interviewing somebody or y'all kicking it and talking about what's happened in each other's lives, and it's not they're not able to necessarily do that.
Yeah. It always just seems like they're just at work.
They're good at coming off the cuff with topics, almost like the Michael Che and that other guy with the news report on SNL. But that's what I felt like they were making their transition to and had made their transition to with, like, the Showtime deal. And who's to say that, like, the bar was too low? Like, who's to say that the bar wasn't too low? Because I know Salt the Math Hoffa's podcast, you know what I mean? I definitely think it was... But I think that it was a statement that he went to a podcast that was still of the essence, like the shit that he caters to. That's super New York... I wear sunglasses and fitted, like, type energy.
Yeah. And like I said, they just, yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to, like, when it comes down to breakups and shit like that, it's just like, yeah, man, maybe y'all niggas is never really, really, really that tough to begin with. I don't know. But hopefully they figure that shit out, man. Shout out to
I know Envy out there jumping for joy, bro.
Light skin mafia. Puerto Rican nigga mafia, nigga Rican, as Nori would say.
Nigga Rican mafia.
Shout out Petey Crack.
You think Nori and EFN are real friends?
Yes.
I would say so too.
They come off like that. I think that's like the beauty of the pod, because they'll talk about shit. You remember back in 98?
And they'll disagree.
Yeah.
They'll argue.
All the time. And I can tell sometimes when, like, you know, especially EFN, like,
he'll EFN get a little... EFN be irritated. EFN be pissed. Come on, man. Let him finish his question.
Yeah. He always tells Nori, like, yo, shut up. Let him talk, bro. Like, and I fuck with that. Like, that's what makes the... Gives it that, like, you know, genuine...
Nori, like, all right. And he's just jittering his seat right quick. Yeah. I'm not saying that Nori...
Because Nori's like a terrible interviewer.
Do you feel like... I feel
but
like...
he's good. He's good.
I feel like some niggas give, like, have real play with their nose energy. And I'm not saying that Nori play with his nose. Like, it may be because he's Hispanic, it may be genetic. So, like, somebody down the line did, and he just got the jitters.
That's definitely, that's tricky. Yeah.
It was somebody else on Drink Champs who had a lot of that energy, too. And somebody else said, you mentioned it, and somebody else said it. And I was like, man, I see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Duke. Yeah, I ain't going to repeat it.
We're not going to repeat it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I know you've seen it. If you go back and look, shit. Yeah, this nigga on some shit.
Shout out Daryl. You know, have you seen the images that floating around Twitter, like Chris Brown taking these pictures with like random fans?
Oh yeah,
and
they look like
they booed up. Like this one, the most popular one is the
somebody
nigga.
Was like, yo, he paid something $1,000 for this photo or some shit.
You know who's taking them pictures?
No.
Vince's cousin Daryl.
That's crazy. Oh shit! Shout out Daryl.
Where he took it back to South the Cat Ball and that's took crazy. Pictures that's of crazy. Chris Brown with fans.
That's crazy. And so they got that energy too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So shout out Flix Jr., man. @Flix_Jr., man. This is doing it big. We see you, cuz.
I didn't even know that was Daryl, like, handling shit this whole time. I used to always see that online and shit.
Yeah, okay. My nigga DJ out there with him, too.
Damn, that's crazy. Oh, yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to the folks. Shout out to the gang.
What you been watching? What you been listening to?
Yeah, let's do it. I ain't been watching shit. Media's been dead. Still haven't finished Ms. Marvel yet. Been wanting to. But shout out Black Tex. He just sent me this today. Disney Plus is working on a X-Men reboot.
X-Men 97.
So shout out to them. Like, I think that's gonna be really dope. I actually haven't been watching that because it's not out yet, but I just figured I'd throw that out there. But other than that, there's a mystery of DJ DB Cooper. I've already seen one, but I'm interested to see what spin they're gonna do with this one. I haven't watched it yet, but that's definitely on the horizon. DB Cooper, where are you? Let me see what service this is on. I don't know. Look it up, niggas. I don't know what this is from, but looks like it's a 4-part documentary that I'm super interested in, so I'll come back to that. Oh shit, there's a whole new list of shit that I gotta watch. But
I finally found this video of this white girl.
The day music died. Oh, I'm sorry. Go
rapping
ahead.
In front of graffiti. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. But yeah, it looks like a joke when you cut the music off. It's the joke when the music on. But I'm going to show it to you after the pod. Continue.
Speaking of white girls. Died. Speaking of white girls rapping, though, that's a good segue about nothing. But
I thought about Wale.
I thought about this earlier. Like, podcast about nothing. But, yeah, why are white people always here to say some shit when they rap? And have you ever heard someone actually use that in a hit song? Like, I'm named something, and I'm here to say? Like, has that ever worked in a rap? No? In a hit song? No?
Ice Baby?
All
right. He said his name repeatedly in the hook. A white rapper, too.
But they actually announced it like, I'm here to say type shit? I saw a white woman do this on the internet this morning. That's the way it comes to their point. Back to white women rapping. But anyway, it's like, why do they always say it? I'm here to say. What the fuck is up with that? Where did they get that from?
But my name's such and such, and I'm here to say. Yeah, that's not how I rap.
Like, who was
Blondie? Did Blondie do it?
Maybe. I just want to get to the bottom of that. I just need to know. Like, why is it always that? But
we never say I'm here to say.
Yeah, we've never said that. That's never been our thing. We're never here to
we
say
just it. Here and we said some shit.
We don't announce it before we say it, bro. But DB Cooper, like I said, the day the music died. I ain't gonna act like I watched that shit yet, man. But I'm definitely gonna watch it. I guess it's just a list of shit I'm about to watch. So there y'all go, man. Y'all check that out too. We'll watch it together. Okay, let's get into podcasts. I listened to the new Drink Champs with Consequence. That was pretty cool. Cool stories. And Consequence said some shit that I never really like considered. I'm like, you know what? I never considered this nigga's not from Chicago. He's like, no, niggas always link me to Ye, like I'm from Chicago or some shit. Like, nigga, I had a whole career. Nigga, I'm from New York. Queens. Yeah, nigga, I'm from Queens. I'm like, oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah, well.
I mean, I knew that. That's what I was
it's
like.
It's not even that I didn't know. I just never really, you know what I mean? Just always come
to the aspect of his personality that nobody approaches.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, I don't know these niggas.
I put him in a GLC box, like,
you know what I'm saying?
Rhyme Fist. Exactly. Like, yeah, Lupe
Rhyme. Blue collar rap.
Yeah, yeah. Blue, even Lupe, bro. Y'all, like, came from the same tree in my brain, but yeah, he talked about his like early days with the Tribe, and I thought that was pretty interesting though. So shout out to Consequence.
I think he tipped Cousin or something like that.
Yep. He's like, yeah, tip my cousin, yay, my brother. But yeah, he's not actually his brother, but I get the sentiment. But yeah, it's also been a slow week with podcasts too. All my favorite podcasts kind of took the week off. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Music is concerned. Let's see what we got. Yeah. Okay. I got Cigarettes, Omer Obey. Don't Belong Here, Omer Obey.
I Don't Belong Here.
Mm-hmm. Vince Staples. Taking Trips, Vince Staples.
Taking Trips.
Lift Me Up, Vince Staples. Jumping Off the Roof. Oh, Jump Off the Roof, Vince Staples. Sierra Leone, Big Sean.
Another good one.
Tiffany Nikes, Wale. Fluctuate Wale and Beverly Boulevard Wale. That is what I've been on. That's about it.
All right. What have I been watching? I watched Jurassic Park World Domination.
Oh, yeah. Keep meaning to watch that. Oh, then we talked about it last week.
Yeah. I watched it again.
I think you said you were going to watch it again, too. Yeah.
I watched it again, man. It's nothing. Velociraptors chasing niggas on motorcycles will never get old, bro. There's a part in that scene where
I'm inching like, closer to watching it. So
I really felt like they made the effort not to really off any dinosaurs for real, because of it being too like Peter was gonna come after you, like, because there was a point in that scene where it's like, yo, if you don't shoot this motherfucker, it's always them dodging it and the dinosaur nearly misses and crashes into like a wall or a car or some shit like that. It's a long chase scene. It's like a prehistoric Fast and the Furious. The whole segment. It's like, yeah. Bro, if this was real life, we would have shot this dinosaur in the face so many times.
We got all these weapons.
Guns here. Got drums, nigga. Yeah, we mowing on, these hoes down.
Yeah. This shit fun, nigga. It's like video games after a while.
Yeah, like, dinosaurs are like zombies. Like, you should be able to chop them shit down. And the first one, they was about to shoot one, but, you know, they got my nigga, the Australian, the Jurassic Park Steve Irwin. Yeah. Cheeky girl. And he just got his face ate. There wasn't a whole lot of blood in that movie either.
Like, it wasn't a lot.
It wasn't a violent movie. Like, it was just a movie full of intense ass chase scenes and dinosaurs fighting each other. Dinosaurs beat the shit out of each other for most of the movie. But yeah, I watched that again. I watched The Bear again. People still have a lot of mixed reviews on this show, and for me, it was just like a lot of the scene that's floating around now is just a still of him sitting outside drinking out of a plastic cup. And it's a plastic cup really specific to kitchens. You keep like sauces or like spices in them. They're clear. If you go to the farmer's market, you can get like the small ones that are round, or you can get the ones that are in bulk and they're like maybe like a quart. We drink out of those all the time, like, just because you don't have cups in most kitchens. Like, unless you work in a place that does, like my restaurant did, like, lunch service. So we had plastic cups because occasionally people would want drinks. But most of the time, you're serving out of a bottle or something like that. But you don't have cups. You end up drinking out of whatever you use in the kitchen. But I watched it again. I think I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the second season. I hope it gets approved. Unfortunately, it gives me a lot of How to Make It in America energy, and I think it's probably gonna get canceled just because it's so artsy. But it's like the party of it's like my generation's like Party of Five. Like, yeah, everybody, yeah. People are like, oh, such a good show. It's like, nigga, what the fuck is this? What is this shit? That's why I'm not gung-ho about suggesting it to you, because I know you're like, bro, I don't want to watch this shit.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that, man. I hate shows that don't go anywhere, bro.
Rescue Me was a show like that, like the firefighter show. I was like, I don't want to watch a show about firefighters, nigga. Who gives a fuck? But then you watch it, and it's like, oh, it's kind of interesting. Shout out Dennis Leary. What else have I been watching? I haven't really been watching a whole lot as far as...
I don't know if you're racist, Dennis Leary. I just assumed you are.
You just assume?
Yeah.
That's cool, bro. Fuck him.
Yeah. He's from Boston. I assume everyone.
Is he from Boston?
I think so. He looks like him.
Yeah, he does have a real Boston-ass face.
Welshman.
Supreme. He's like... He's either from Boston or like his people's from Iceland or some shit like that. He looked like... If you put him in a hat with horns...
Yeah, he could probably pass. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I watched Norseman again. It was all right. I kind of fucked with it. I definitely watched it intoxicated. But it wasn't as bad as I initially thought. Mostly because I sat and watched it. My phone was dead. And I think it was raining outside. So I wasn't going out for shit. Like, and my daughter was asleep. So I needed something I could watch that would keep my attention. And I sat there and watched the whole thing. Yeah, Norseman probably gets like a 7. It reminded me a lot of Conan the Barbarian. I think it was Illa. Was it Illa? Illa, yeah, on Black on Purpose. They were watching Conan the Barbarian, and they talked a lot about like how like groundbreaking that movie was for Arnold. Arnold really didn't have many words in the movie. It was just him standing there swinging swords and shit. But it launched a whole career of him being like the go-to action nigga just because he was big.
Yeah.
Couldn't speak a lick of English. It was an era where action stars didn't have to be, they didn't have to really be much. You didn't have to be in shape at one point. Like, you didn't have to speak English. You just had to know how to kick.
You had to be a street tough.
Yeah, you had to look like you belong to Streets of Rage too.
Yeah. Street toughs. You don't want street toughs anymore.
Oh, did y'all hear the rumor about, it's this, another clip of Prince doing an interview where he's talking about Thriller, Who's Bad? The Who's Bad video.
Oh, yeah. The joint where he's talking about, like, the first line is, "Your butt is mine." He's like, yeah, there's no way he's going to say that to me.
Yeah, because Wesley Snipes' character in the Bad video was supposed to be Prince, and they were supposed to be going back and forth, like, feuding. He was trying to make it like The Girl Is Mine before Brandy and Monica.
Yeah.
They're just arguing over music turf.
Yeah.
And he's going to put it, that's such an arrogant thing to ask another artist. Like, be in my video, we gonna beef, right? And I'm gonna point at you and tell you that your butt is mine, all right? And you just gonna stand there and look mean at me. Am I gonna get a verse? No, this is my song. Like, I'm just gonna put you in the video and sun you right quick.
Well, I feel like some label probably pitched that shit, and you know. I mean, it would have been a good little trope, like, in that time period, because it was like, oh, shit.
Look at him.
The two icons, Warren. It would have been like wrestling, back to the old wrestling shit.
Yeah, that shit would have been corny, bro. Yeah. I'm glad Prince kept it 100.
Yeah. I respect that, too.
But, yeah, that's about all I've been watching, man. I don't really have anything else. What I've been listening to, go to my text thread, because I was sending it off last night. A lot of Japanese jazz. This song by Nakoro Miyamoto, "My Life," crazy breakdown. Like, I like songs with like long musical breakdowns. It's why I like Karunga Ben. It's why I really fuck with their Seaside, the Texas Sun album. Especially Seaside, those long breakdowns and intros and the middle of songs just tend to be my go-to. Taji sent me a list of Japanese jazz that I have yet to listen to, but I'm gonna check that out today. Taylor McFerrin, "Already There," featuring Robert Glasper and Thundercat. Let me see. Opa, "Pieces." It's the original sample from... Or it's the original sample. It's the sample that Flying Lotus used for "Between Friends," this song I heard with Earl Sweatshirt and Captain Murphy. Captain Murphy's Flying Lotus, but yeah, it's a crazy song. And I think that's about it. Podcast wise, Flagrant 2, Andrew Schultz, "How Growers Foiled Cops in Humboldt County." It's a podcast episode on great moments in weed history. There's an Aaron Burr Part 4. I just listened to Aaron Burr Part 3 of The Dollop. What else? A lot of Joe Rogan as of late. Let's go through my... Joe Rogan, Tom Segura. Really good episode. I like when he sits down to talk to his friends. Duncan Trussell, Joe Rogan episode. That shit would be hard. That's about it, man. I'm waiting on another Save Our Parks or Protect Our Parks episode. I like those when, like I said, when he sit down with his friends and talk shit. Those are the more entertaining ones. I don't want to hear him talk to any more doctors or scientists or politicians, man. That shit is boring. Like, give me the shit I care about. I want a break from all that shit when I listen to podcasts. But yeah, that's it. Washed, never washed up.
Yeah, we are washed, never washed up. This was episode 95. Yeah, 95.
I'm Sean Luke Picard.
And I am Draft.
Y'all stay black, man. Yeah. Like, subscribe, share.
Do that.